Robert Sullivan is the author of a book called Rats, Observations on the History and Habitat of the City's Most Unwanted Inhabitants. Sullivan spent a year observing rats in a dirty alley in Lower Manhattan. You're probably not going to be happy to hear this, but Sullivan says we have a lot in common with rats.
The term that is sometimes used by biologists, ecologists, is commensal. And I think it means eating at the same table. We eat at the same table, rats and humans, sort of opposite ends of the table. They live in our garbage. They eat our refuse. But it's the same food. If you spend any time in an alley or any time around garbage, which I ended up doing, you see that it's the same thing. There was one night where I realized the rats were going nuts for a particular kind of food and a particular kind of garbage. And I finally realized that it was the special that night at the restaurant around the corner, chicken pot pie. That's what they're eating. I mean, I'm sure there are other animals that would eat chicken pot pie, but it just seems perfect. There are no rats. If there are no humans, there probably aren't any Norway rats, wild rats, sometimes called brown or gray rats.
It is kind of a nice image, isn't it? I mean, people flocking to the restaurant because they have chicken pot pie on special, and the rats flocking to the alley because the chicken pot pie is, in its remnants, going to feed them that night.
Right, exactly. And so then you could say, I think you could say that the rats are flocking to the alley because there are people flocking to the restaurant on the alley. You know, there's this great, you know, parallel existence.
Yeah. Well, tell me about your nocturnal visits to this alley. How did you set up? What did you look for? What did you find when you were watching the rats?
Well, I sat in the alley. I put a little stool up sometimes in the end of the alley, or I would lean against the wall, just in sort of the shadow, and watch the rats as they came up out of their holes. Some of the holes were in the cobblestones. It was very exciting. They would come up out of the ground. It was amazing, actually. And I would try to see the patterns. At first, you know, when you go whale watching, you say, oh, there's a whale, and then, oh, there's another whale. And if you go out 100 times, or if you're a biologist, a marine biologist, then you start to realize, oh, that's the whale with the barnacle on his flipper this way. And so you begin to know the whales in some sense. You know, some people want to know the whales even more. I wouldn't want to go that far with the rats. Wouldn't want to even go close to that far. But anyway.
But you began to recognize them.
I began to recognize them by size first, by where they're coming from. Sort of you could tell that there were two or three colonies in the alley. But then there's a lot of time, I mean, where they go underground and don't come out. They come out at dusk to feed. Then they go away for a while. Then they come out again for another feeding around, you know, 11 o'clock or sometimes midnight. Then they go back. And, you know, they're a lot like the other creature that's in the area of downtown on Wall Street, which is the biped creature that comes up out of the subways around 6 in the morning, grabs a bite to eat, goes into the buildings, comes out again at noon.
Well, it's true, but most of us don't climb into garbage bags to forage for food, unlike the rats.
Yes, this seems to me to be one of the keynote landscape details of the New York night scene. You see the black garbage bags, and you see the profile of the rat as it seems to be wrestling. I think I use the phrase something like kids wrestling in a pup tent or something. You could just see them pulsating out of the bags.
It's not an image that I want to hold on to for a long time, I have to tell you.
Well, I don't blame you. See, I don't blame you. In fact, I embrace you're not embracing the image. But now there's been a development since I wrote that. There's a lot more. I'm happy to report this development. But there are now a lot more see-through trash bags, garbage bags, in the city.
Does that just mean you can watch the rats fight?
You can watch them in the bag now. It affords a kind of a level of safety. I like that I can watch them, and there's a bag between us, even though it's pretty much nothing.
Yeah. Rats are fascinating in some ways, too. There are things about rats that I was completely unaware of, and I'm not going to easily forget. You said, for instance, you discovered rats can have sex 20 times a day?
Anybody I know who's, you know, accidentally picked up the book and read any of it, this is the thing that most impresses people 20 times a day. Is it an average or a mean or what? It might even be a low number if you spend any time in a rat alley. 20 might be low. They're very interested in eating and in sex, yeah.
Wow. And their teeth, you said that they can actually hold off a cat.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no problem. Oh, there's a lot of stories from exterminators about people thinking that they would solve their rat problem with cats and leaving the cat in the room with the rat and then returning to have to take care of a dead cat. There's some great photos from a scientist in Baltimore who looked at rats and cats in alleys, and there's some photos of the rat sort of standing there and the cat next to him, and they're both looking the other way, sort of trying to pretend the other isn't there. I mean, you know, a rat and a cat, the cat's smart enough, I think. In fact, I think cats are some of the smartest animals I've ever met, but which is why I'm so afraid of them. But you as opposed to rats. But they, you know, they can, I mean, a cat knows not to go after a rat, I'm pretty sure. You could stop a rat infestation in your home with a cat. That is, a cat might be able to kill and would be able to kill juvenile rats. And I want to apologize for talking about rats at all right now because I feel like I've just gone overboard. Yeah. So,
now, you spent a long time watching rats. Somewhere in the book you write that just about everybody in New York City has at least one rat story. Out of all of those, is there one that sticks with you more than the others?
A friend of mine mentioned that the other day, and my cousin was nearby, and I sort of his second cousin, I guess, and he's a police officer in San Francisco, and he's saying, oh, I don't have a rat story, because I think it works for every city. Many people in many cities have many rat stories. And he said, oh, I don't have a rat story. And that's one subgroup is police officers. They have so many rat stories that they don't consider themselves to have a rat story anymore. But of the rat stories I've heard in New York City, there are so many good ones. One genre of New York City rat story is the rat in the ceiling story. I know a guy who recently ordered at a restaurant on the Lower East Side and spent a lot of time thinking it was a great place and looking around. He was with his wife and they're with their newborn child or fairly newborn child, and they're enjoying the ambiance of the restaurant, and they order, and then they looked up and saw something walking along the pipe above them, and it was a rat, and I think they didn't stay through the meal. I also like subterranean rat stories, stories that involve workers in the streets, for instance, and when they're going down into pipes, and they open the pipes, and suddenly they come upon a rat population. And when rats come scurrying out like that, people often think that the rats are coming after them, but I like to kind of switch it around and think about what the rat might be thinking, which might be something along the lines of, oh my God, there's a human coming after me. I think that's probably just as scary, considering how hard we work to get the rats.
Robert Sullivan is the author of Rats, Observations on the History and Habitat of the City's Most Unwanted Inhabitants.